following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
It's now the time of the service for us to listen to God's word. Before that, I'm going to pray for Army, she comes up to read, and for Johnny, he preaches. Heavenly Father, please help us to really understand your word of what we're about to hear, and please help give Johnny wisdom and great clarity as he comes to preach for us. It's worth noting, we're going to have a reading from two parts of the Bible, Isaiah 9:2, and that can be found in the Church Bibles in page 694. And then we're going to have one from Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 12, and that can be found in page 966 in the Church Bibles. But over to Army.
So this is Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then this is Matthew. Chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Ami, thank you so much. And thanks to all the youth who have been involved so far in the service. We're going to start our time looking at God's word with a little quiz, okay? So coming up on the screen will be five religious festivals, okay? And on the right-hand side is five religions. You've got to match them up, okay? The festival to the religion. You can tap to the person next to you. Give it a go. We gave away the answer at the top, but the sort of bonus question would be, what do those religious festivals have in common? And the answer is they're basically all festivals of light. Festivals where you celebrate light conquering darkness. And the first reading that Army read for us from Isaiah 9 said, and this is the famous Christmas reading, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So if you Googled Christmas festival, festivals of light, those festivals we've just seen would come up, but so would Christmas. And I guess my question today is Christmas just another festival of lights? Or is there something even more special about Christmas? And to answer that question, we're going to look at that verse from Isaiah and learn two truths, very simple truths, about what Christmas is about. And then as we think what difference that makes to us, what we're going to do is learn two lessons from some characters in that little bit of the Christmas story we read about the wise men and some other people there, okay? So let's start with that first thing we learn from that verse in Isaiah, which is we are in darkness. And if you look down, we can see that from that verse. It says the people walking in darkness. It says on those living in the land of deep darkness. And this isn't talking about Antarctica in the winter where it's night the whole time. It's the metaphor for the world that we all live in. The darkness refers to the mess that this world can often be. And I don't think anyone would disagree that often that is an accurate description of what our world is like. Darkness. We see that in the mess around us. We see that when we hear about wars on the news, when we hear about abuse, when we experience sickness, we'll see that in others. When we are lonely, or maybe we get bullied, or we look around the world and we hear about all the global warming and all the things that can go wrong. Yes, we can say, that's true. We live in a world of darkness. But the Bible would say all those things, that isn't exactly the darkness that is being talked about there. Those things are kind of effects of the darkness, but there's a deeper darkness that underlies all of those things. And that darkness is the fact that our relationship with God is broken. Because God made the world, God made a good world. And when that gets broken, and that darkness comes, then all these other things are going to happen as well. Wars, abuse, bullying, loneliness, global warming. All those things happen out of the darkness of a broken relationship with God. And the Bible tells us that actually that is our responsibility. Because of sin, because of our decision to reject God, to do things our own way, to ignore his good and loving rule, we have plunged ourselves into darkness. We all know about those signs of darkness. We think, yes, it would be great to get rid of all of those things. How can we do that? Well, the question we should be asking is, how can we deal with the darkness of sin and the darkness that comes about when our relationship with God is broken? You see, it's a bit like if you guys ever have a messy bedroom and you go for the take all the mess and shove it all under the bed approach, which can be mildly effective. That is until you've got so much stuff under your bed that things start poking out. So you poke them all under the bed. Then you get the smells. So then maybe you get a bit of air freshener. Then you get the flies. So you open the window. All those things you're trying to deal with only go so far. There's a big problem. By this point, you can't do anything about it. You need help. I was chatting to Lucy. She had this once, but actually she found a dead mouse under her bed. No matter what she does, the only way that can be dealt with is by dealing with what's under the bed. And often, if you're like me, that means I need one of my parents to come in with a black sack and help me out because I need that help. You see, all the darkness we see in the world, the only way that can be dealt with is by dealing with that fundamental darkness that comes from sin and our relationship with God being broken. So that is the darkness that we are in, and it's bad. And the Bible gives us an accurate description of that. But the good news that we also see in that verse is that light has arrived. That's what Christmas is all about. So if you look at verse 2 again, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Just like with that messy room, you can do things to make it better, but you need to deal with what's under the bed. If darkness is caused by every single human rejecting God, what that means is that no human can sort it out. In fact, the entire Old Testament is a catalogue of humans messing up, failing. And you guys know your lives, your hearts, and we can say we're all the same. That means if that darkness is to be dealt with, if light is going to come into the world, it can't be a human bringing that light, because all we bring is darkness. So what happens instead? Well, before we think about that, another quick quiz. You can turn to the person next to you. We've got four pictures coming up. What do these four characters have in common? I'm not going to take any answers, because all we'll find out is that there's much better answers out there than the one I've got on my piece of paper. But just, you know, you've got Voldemort, you've got Yoda, you've got Maverick from Top Gun and Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians. Here is the similarity I was thinking of, okay? In the films that they are in, at some point, what they do is they send people to do something, and they are incapable of doing it, so they say something along the lines of, that's it, I'm going to go myself. So whether it's Voldemort, his henchmen are failing to do the jobs he sent them to do, with Yoda, any Star Wars fans, Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, he sends the Jedi, but then he has to go himself. Maverick, his trainees, they can't do it, so he has to go and help them out himself. And Cruella de Vil sends his useless henchmen, and they mess up, and she's like, that's it, I've got to do it. Now, that is exactly what happens at Christmas. We've said that humans can't be the light that we need to defeat the darkness. So what does God say? He says, I'm going to go myself. It's not a, oh, I'm disappointed, I'm going to go myself, or even anger. It's not even purely pity. It's an act of supreme love to see that darkness and say, I'm going to choose to go myself, to send my son into the mess of that world that humans have created in order to bring light, in order to be light. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. If Christmas hadn't, the first Christmas hadn't happened 2,000 years ago, we'd still be in darkness. But light's come because 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. He chose to enter into our world, to bring his light into the darkness. And from the moment he was born, that's what he did. He lived a perfect life into the darkness of human evil. Wherever he went in his life, he shone his light into the darkness of the world. He shone the light of healing into the darkness of disease. The light of power and goodness over the darkness of evil. The light of sustenance and food into the darkness of hunger. And then he chose to embrace the darkness of death. It looked like his light had been snuffed out by the power of that darkness as he died and he took that darkness that we deserve on himself. But the light's too powerful, and he defeated that darkness as he rose back to life. And the incredible news is for us, because that light's come, the darkness has been defeated. And if we trust in him, we can live with him forever in the world that he will one day create with no darkness, full of light, illuminated by the light of Jesus. And that all started that first Christmas when light came into the darkness. You see, Christmas isn't just a normal, everyday light over darkness festival. It's completely unique. Firstly, because it tells us accurately and honestly what the darkness is all about and how bad it is. Our sin, meaning a broken relationship with God, yeah, that makes sense of all the rest of the darkness we see in the world. But even more than that, the light is so much better, so much stronger, so much purer and more loving. And it's a light that deals with that darkness. So what do we do about that? Well, here's a couple of quick lessons from some of the characters in that story of the wise men. I'm afraid we're looking at the story in the Bible as opposed to the drama, as wonderful as that was. But here's lesson number one, and it's two examples we shouldn't follow. Hear me out on this. Lesson number one, from what we've heard about the light into the darkness, is don't be like the Magi. Why not? You need to look for the light in the right place. Here's what I mean by that, okay? Before I tell you about that, we have a game we sometimes play with the youth called Little Paper Person, and we have a little white cutout paper person. You hide it somewhere, often on something white, so it's hard to see. Everyone comes in, looks for it. When you find it, you just sit down. So gradually, there's only a few people left. They don't know where the paper person is. Everyone else does. They get clues to find it. And it might be obvious from the clues that the paper person is over here, but they're looking over here, and you're tearing your hair out, thinking, why are you looking in the wrong place? But that is kind of what the Magi do. We're told that the star leads them to Jesus, where he's born, which I imagine means the star was leading them to Bethlehem, but where do they go? They go to Jerusalem, which is interesting, isn't it? And it's worth thinking, why do they think they should go to Jerusalem? Well, they know that this light has come. They're being told, okay, we've got a new king. So they think, where should we go? We'll go to the palace. Because what we think is needed is a strong king for this nation. And they get the wrong place. Because they misunderstand what the darkness is, this country needing help, and they therefore think the light is a strong ruler who will be born in a palace and his parents would also be kings, and they look in the wrong place. And it is so easy to do that. When we think, okay, what is the real problem in this world? What is the darkness that we need to deal with? Then that's what we think the light is. Let me explain what I mean. Maybe we think darkness is things that politicians can cure, like a health service that's broken, or school systems that need to be better. If that is our ultimate darkness, well, what's the light going to be? Better politicians, better leaders. Or if we think the big darkness is global warming and problems in the environment, well, then the light that we desperately long for might be a climate deal that secures that change, or maybe new technology to store carbon. Or if we think darkness in the world, that is just is sickness, that's what needs sorting out, then we think the light is a new drug or cure that might cure disease. Or what about for you personally? What is the darkness that you really feel in your life right now? Maybe it's money, and you just feel like you haven't got enough money. That's the darkness that you experience. And light then would be maybe a new job or an inheritance or some better source of income. Maybe the darkness you're experiencing is loneliness. And that light would be a friend who really cares for you, or maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend that can be there for you. Maybe your darkness is bullying. And the light for you would be for that bully to be kicked out of the school and to go away. Maybe the darkness is uncertainty about the future and what's going to happen and the fear of your exams. And the light is just knowing you can get good results that offer into uni and then you're certain in your future. All those darknesses are bad things. All those lights, lots of them would be really good things. But if we think that's the ultimate thing that is going to sort out all the problems in the world, we're doing what the Magi did, and we're looking in the wrong place, because they can only do so much. If any of those things came along, there'd be other things in the world that would make it a dark place and bring darkness into our lives. And if we get fixated on thinking, that's the thing we need, that's the light we need, even if it happens, we will be disappointed. There's only one light that can actually defeat the darkness and fulfill all its promise and potential, and that's Jesus. And eventually, the Magi went to the right place, and they realized, actually, this wasn't a powerful king they were looking for. It was someone born in a stable, and that weakness and humility was all about what that light was going to grow up and do as he died on the cross to defeat the darkness. So that's the first thing we need to learn from. Don't be like the Magi. They looked for the light in the wrong place because maybe they were a bit confused about what the darkness is. What is the darkness in your life, if you had to answer that question? And therefore, what is the light you're looking for? And do you see that Jesus is the only true light that can deal with the underlying deep darkness in this world? So that's the first lesson. Second lesson is a bit more of a mouthful. Don't be like the chief priests and the teachers of the law. If you hear about the light, go after it. Here's what I mean by that. So if you look down at the passage, we're told that when the Magi come to Jerusalem, they say that there's a new king being born. And we're told in verse 3, that King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So all of Jerusalem have heard him. Herod gathers together, in verse 4, all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. Okay, and they come together, they've heard that a new king's been born, and it's worth saying at this point, those guys, the teachers of the law, the chief priests, their whole job, it's not even just a job, it's their whole life, is about studying the Bible. And the central thing in the Bibles they had was this promise of someone who was going to come, who was going to sort out the mess of the world. The light coming into the darkness, okay? That's the big, big thing that they were waiting for. They were reading about it every single day. You could almost imagine they had a sort of break glass in emergency, big red button to press when this finally happens, okay? And then the Magi come. There's been a miraculous star, and it's like, this could be it. But all that seems to happen is Herod sends them off to go and search for the child. They finally had this light come, and they don't even bother to go and look into it for themselves. It's unbelievable. Their whole life is waiting for this very moment. They know all about it. But when it comes, they just send some other people off. Let us know if it checks out or not. It reminds me a bit, when I was back at school, there was a boy, and sometimes he would make me do his homework, okay? And I just didn't put up too much of a fight. I would do his homework. But I always thought in my head, I'm having the last laugh because you're not learning what you could be learning if you were doing your homework. And I like to think that right now, he's sitting there thinking, oh, I don't know about how metamorphic rocks are formed, and if only I'd done that homework, I would. But for that boy, he thought, do you know what? There's something good that could be done there. I don't know if he thought that, but it's just not worth the effort, so I'm going to leave it. That's a silly example. But there was something so good, but for the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they thought, do you know what? We can't be bothered for a journey to Bethlehem. And we can look at them and think, ah, those guys. But we wouldn't do that, would we? Would we? I love being a youth worker. I've done it for nearly 10 years. And I can tell you one of the best things is when I talk to people who are fascinated and interested in Jesus. And it's wonderful to hear stories of people who have met him and encountered him. One of the things that I think I find the hardest is when there are people who maybe have come to church their whole life, maybe they go to Church of England, primary schools, even secondary schools, and they know loads and loads from the Bible about Jesus. But there's never a moment where they actually decide to do something about it. That's what was going on with the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They knew it all. The moment came. What was needed for that, for them, was to then do something about it and say, let's go and check it out. Let's see if it is real or not. But they don't. And that's so easy for us to do. We know all about Jesus. We read about him. We hear so much about him. We probably know more than most people in the world about him. But it still requires that step to say, okay, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to cross that line and actually choose to follow him. A bit like we're hearing from Tia, that she made that decision to follow him. So if we shouldn't be like the Magi, make sure we look for the light in the right place. The light can actually defeat the darkness. We shouldn't be like the chief priests and the teachers of the law, who, whilst they knew loads about Jesus, wouldn't actually take that step to actually deciding whether to follow him or not. Well, who should we be like? Well, we actually should be like the Magi in the end. Because if you look down at verse 11, here's what they do. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. This is what the light coming into the darkness asks of us. It's to choose to worship him, to live for the true light that can defeat the darkness. If that is a step too far for you, then we can at least learn from the Magi who went and checked it out. They could have ignored the star. They could have been like the chief priests and the teachers of the law and not gone. But they followed it. They followed it to the stable, and they looked and saw, what is this all about? And that's my challenge for you. If worshipping Jesus, if actually committing your life to the light who defeats the darkness is one step too far, at least go and have a look. That doesn't mean a trip to Bethlehem, but it might mean having a read of the Bible, a read of the Gospel of Matthew, and reading about Jesus' life. Was he really the light that could defeat the darkness? Or maybe there's a book at the back you could take that talks about Christmas and whether we can really believe. Or maybe it's a conversation, talking to a friend you know who's a Christian, talking to me or talking to James or one of the other leaders, and asking and thinking about, well, what would it look like to actually follow Jesus and commit our lives to that light who can defeat the darkness of this world? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you decided when we'd made a mess of this world, we'd brought darkness into it, to do something about it. You came yourself. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus into the world, and he is the light that defeats the darkness. Help us not to be like the Magi when they look for the light in the wrong place. Help us not to be like the teachers of the law, those chief priests who knew all about you but wouldn't go and check it out. But help us be like the Magi when they went and they worshipped you. For some of us here, help us to be bold enough to take that step to at least look into it tonight. Would you help us to do that? Amen.